one of the strongest fields in golf, and the party of the season is underway out here in Ponte Vedra Beach. Good morning, live from TPC Sawgrass. This is First Coast Connect on the go, live from the 2016 Players Championship this morning. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and thanks to our on-the-go sponsor, North Florida TPO, reminding you that it's cool to pool. We're always live at 9, and make sure to also pick up our daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. This morning, we're excited to come to you live for the full hour from the 2016 Players Championship. Just ahead, we're going to hear from top executives here at the Players about everything that's on tap this year and what you need to know if you're planning on coming out today or tomorrow. Then later, Donna Deegan on her 5K event around the tournament, raising funds and awareness for breast cancer research and treatment. Plus, it's a taste of Jack's here at the Players. We'll sample some of the delicious cuisine you can also check out if you come out to see everything happening. All of that ahead, but first this hour, it's known as golf's unofficial fifth major, and there's a lot to know if you're a golf fan or if you just want to come out and enjoy the ambiance. Let's check in now on the top leadership here at the championship. Matt Rapp with us, executive director here at the Players. Good to see you. Good morning.
Thanks again, and appreciate you always coming out. We really appreciate it.
It's great to be out here. Also with us, Michelle McManaman. She's tournament chairman here at the Players. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Friday and Saturday are always an exciting time during Players Week, Matt. It's my understanding right off the bat, you want to let the public know that parking is at a premium out here if people are planning to come on out.
Yeah, we had to close the lot sales down, so a lot is open, but you have to have a pass already. If you don't, find a friend who has a pass and carpool, use a taxi service or some other car service. Coastal Cab's our preferred vendor. There's shuttle buses coming from downtown. I bike to the Players, so you can ride in on your bike or take your bike to a friend's house who lives nearby and pedal on in. Lots of ways to get here, but you can't buy any more passes if you don't have a parking pass right now. You got to find another way to get in.
How about tomorrow? Same story?
Well, it's not sold out yet, but it will likely be. So if you're planning on coming out tomorrow, I would arrange your transportation now and don't wait.
So if people are planning to come out today, the strategy for you advise is to get here early. We might have some rain later in the day, and there is a lot to see and do.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to beat the traffic, rain or no rain, you want to beat the traffic. And so hit the car, put us on the radio and start heading out now. And then when you do get here, I think one of the things that people don't realize is that there's so many things that are available to just the most basic stadium pass. If you get a course map, that's probably the easiest way to explain it. And if you look at all the venues that are listed on the course map, almost every one will say open to the public. There's three or four on there that say ticketed venue, and you can't go in there unless you have a ticket to that venue. But all the others, and these include air-conditioned venues, they include wine lounges, they include viewing decks that are shaded. You mentioned Taste of Jack's. It is a food fest out here. We got tacos on 12 with Taco Lou. We've got seven of the best food trucks in town. We've got Vernon's in Wine and Dine on 9. So there's just so many places to see and do things, as you said. So it's great for the golf fan because we got a great leaderboard and the best field in golf, but also just for somebody who wants to enjoy a wonderful experience.
That's right. And Michelle, this couldn't happen without an army of volunteers.
That's right. Over 2,000 volunteers.
It's incredible. In fact, a great volunteer drove us in from media parking with all of our equipment. That's just one example of all of the talent and enthusiasm, people coming out here to be part of this. Tell us a little bit about the effort that goes into this and what you're overseeing.
Well, Melissa, they come from all over the world. They take off a week, sometimes multiple weeks, to come out here to volunteer. You'll see them out here. Please thank them. If you do see them, they're wearing the blue shirts and their credentials. Some of them have the striped blue shirt on. But they literally do things out on the course, from what we call ecology, which is a nice way of saying trash, to corporate hospitality, checking credentials, making sure that everybody has the right credentials to get into the venues they need to get into. Mm-hmm. There's so much to do out here. We actually have such a great time, and it's become one big family.
And the logistics, I would think, of all of these moving parts is really something to behold.
Yes, well, yeah. Just even thinking about getting everybody here, we have an off-site location for them to park, and we shuttle them in because we want the prime parking here for our spectators. So we shuttle them in. We have a great time getting them in here. We have our own diner for our volunteers. And it's just a, again, it's a great place for, if you're not looking to just come out and watch golf, come out and volunteer and you have a great time and help raise money for charities.
And as you said, Matt, this is seen as the strongest field in golf, more than 140 players. For serious golf fans, this is such an exciting week.
Well, this course and the whole tournament was really built for that serious golf fan. So you have the very best field in golf. There's no, there's no gimmicks to it. There's no lifetime exemptions. There's no sponsor exemptions. There's no playing your way in on Monday quality. None of that stuff. No amateurs. It's just the best players. And the course was designed very specifically to be the purest test in golf so that it would test out who is the best player this week. And so the players really respect it because of that. They know that they have to be a great player but also have their A game. And I guess the last thing that just really sets this whole place apart is that the way they constructed the course from the get-go, and we've been able to add to that over the years, is all about the fans. It's easy to walk, it's easy to watch, and then now there's lots of places to cool off and recharge if you get a little hot during the day.
And that was something you changed this year, just to improve the fan experience, right?
Well, it's been an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Some of the new changes this year are a spine road in the parking lot, which is cut down on dust, and we also have a walk path, so you're not walking across the gravel for the whole a length of that. We've got a new mounding on a couple of different holes, so the viewing there is easier. We also have a cart path now that goes the length of the fourth and fifth hole, so a lot of people like to go out there. In the past, you have to walk kind of on a hill a little bit, not fun. And then when you got there was nothing out there. We couldn't give you any concessions or restrooms. Now with the path, we can deliver services out there. So those are just some of the changes. We've got expanded merchandise opportunities out here behind 16 green and then one at the 18 hole landing concession area. So come on out and check it out.
That's right. Lots of fun during the day, lots of parties at night. What are some of the big ones that everybody's looking forward to?
Well, it's funny. I look at my calendar, and so you got a full day out here for sure.
Yeah.
And then there's you're hopping from one event to the next. The big event tonight is the cut. With Tony Boselli. I saw an email late yesterday, early this morning that said there are still tickets available to that. It's a great program. It's at the Pontevedra Concert Hall, and it's after play, and they got a bunch of bands, and they raise a lot of money for the Tony Boselli Foundation, which does so much great work here in the community.
And we're going to keep talking through the hour about how the players, in fact, is an incredible engine for volunteerism and philanthropy. So many nonprofits can really leverage the impact of this global event locally to help people in this community.
That's correct.
Yes.
And it is from the volunteer efforts that they're able to do that.
That's our remit, is to give the money back to the five-county community.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to keep telling all our listeners about everything there is to see and do out here at the Players' Championship. Matt Rapp, Michelle McManaman, I know you're very busy, so thanks for stopping by our little area here for a few minutes and sharing all of this with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And much more still to come. It's First Coast Connect live and on the go from the Players. We'll be back in a moment.
WJCT and Baptist Health are pleased to announce that Amy Robach, news anchor of ABC's Good Morning America, will be this year's afternoon keynote speaker at Girls' Day Out, September 17, 2016, Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Amy is also a breast cancer awareness advocate and author of My Breast Cancer Journey, From Fighter to Thriver. For more information or for tickets, log on to wjct.org/girlsdayout.
Great question. That is a great question.
And that's a great question.
Wow, that's another great question.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a great that's a great question.
That is a great question.
What a great question.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear unexpected questions and unexpected answers. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning. Live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross.
Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
I'm Ira Flatow. If you're a bird watcher, you might want to try bee tracking. On Science Friday, bee expert Tom Seeley gives a lesson on tracking bees and why it's more than just a hobby. Also, tales of bird watching with a personal point of view, and hunting morels, those edible mushrooms. They were delish. All on Science Friday from PRI.
Fridays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back to our special On The Go show, live from the 2016 Players Championship this morning. Hi, I'm Melissa Ross, and we're coming to you for the full hour this morning from all the fun and excitement and activity at the Players, with the greatest field in golf and so much to see and do. But you know what? It couldn't happen without an absolute army of volunteers, more than 2,000 of them, helping with every aspect of this huge event. We've got a volunteer with us right now. Mary Sullivan is here. Good morning,
Thanks
for stopping by.
Thank you.
So you're a volunteer out here. What's your official job title or duty?
A volunteer like everybody else, but I also have those subtitles of being in charge of the escorts, which escort the players around the course, and helping with pre-tournament, getting people with their apparel set up and everything else.
So what's the escort situation like? You get the golfers where they need to go, and does that work?
We meet with PGA security every evening, and they ask me the players for crowd control that we want to assign, and so we assign anywhere from 2 to 4 people per group that they've asked us to do. And they walk the entire course with the players.
And how long have you been doing this out here?
About 26 years.
26 years. What got you interested in it, and what keeps you coming back?
I'm a teacher in St. Johns County, 38 years, proud to be that. And it's one way to give back to the community. It's one of the charities that I enjoy, coming out here to volunteer with everybody else and just working together, having fun, picking up where we left off from the year before, and the big thing, giving back to the community.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the volunteer challenge out here. Tell us about that.
The volunteer challenge came about with the PGA. They started, I think, a couple of years ago, and they're asking us to, everyone out there, to vote for your favorite player or your favorite tournament. They're asking you if you're the top 3 vote getters. I'm a teacher. We had a teacher at our school this year whose daughter passed away from cancer.
Oh.
And they asked me to do this, and I was a little hesitant. But we are trying to save money so that we can donate to the Lymphoma Society if we're one of the top 3 vote getters. The PGA awards money for us to give to a charity of our choice. And so all people have to do is go to pgatour.com/volunteers, click on players, and select the volunteer of their choice. Hopefully they select Mary Sullivan. That would be great. It is my birthday today, so no birthday presents.
Happy 29th birthday.
I would love a vote today to help Emma, you know, to honor Emma in her quest for donating to the Lymphoma Society.
That would be great. Again, it's pgatour.com/volunteers. Click on that and cast your vote. Now, what's a typical day? Do you take the week off from work and spend the whole week out here?
I do. I usually take off Tuesday through Friday, and I'm out here Tuesday through Sunday, and then I'm also here the prior weekends ahead getting ready for it. So it's pretty cool, and then I see the kids skipping school, and we have conversations and chit-chat, so it's great seeing them
out
here.
You don't sell them out?
No, I don't sell them out. They're having a great time. They're enjoying golf, and that's what they need to see. It's a life experience.
Are you a big golf fan?
I am a big golf fan.
Do you play?
I would say, if you define playing, I enjoy going out and hitting the golf
ball. You enjoy going out on the course.
Yes, ma'am.
with whatever degree of skill we all have at that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, as a fan, do you have any interesting encounters with some of your idols in golf or anything like that out here?
There's so many. They're all great moments. They're all great memories. It doesn't matter whether it's a memory with a volunteer or a memory with a particular player. It's been great over the 26 years seeing some of my boys grow up into nice golfers and taking care of them and helping them. So it's just really cool to see all that.
Now, give me a typical day for you. What time do all the volunteers get out here? How what's a day like?
It varies according to their assignment. Now, because I have to, if some of our players are going out early in the morning, I usually get here between 5:30 and 6 to get everything ready for my group that shows up. As they check in, I get them out on the course, and there's times that I'm out on the course walking with them. And then they check in with us, and we get the next group out. And then we meet with PGA security, get the pairings all set up for the next day, and we go home about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
So then we start the day over, and it's great.
And you love that.
I think I do. I enjoy it.
There's a lot of adrenaline that goes into this, isn't there?
It's fun. It's fun.
It doesn't feel like work, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's just a day outside and enjoying it.
And not too hot this week. Not too bad.
It is good. We're hoping that it continues like this. We've had some great weather.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a lot of work to do. So Mary Sullivan, a very experienced and enthusiastic volunteer out here at the Players. Now, again, let's give this one more time, the volunteer challenge. You want to mention your cause
Go
one more time?
We want to donate, be able to be one of the top three vote getters. We want to donate to the Lymphoma Society. And we will, first of all, donate to First Tee. They're our charity of choice by the tournament, but the top three vote-getters get to choose their own charity. Go to pgatour.com/volunteers, click on Players, and because Sullivan comes down at the end of the alphabet, just scroll down until you find Sullivan. I love a vote.
Mary Sullivan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your time out here. Coming up, Donna Deegan and more guests live from the 2016 Players Championship. It's First Coast Connect on the go. We'll be right back.
Flight attendants are sick a lot because it's kind of like a kindergarten teacher. You're exposed to a lot of germs, mainly because I'm taking garbage from everyone, you know, and saying thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you for your garbage.
Join us for the Moth Radio Hour, True Stories Told Live, from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Saturdays at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
This week, the Philippines elected a crazed sexist bigot to its highest office. Damn it, if we're going to do this, couldn't we have at least been the first? I'm Peter Sagal. This week we go to Rhode Island, where we will talk to its governor, Gina Raimondo. That's right, Rhode Island gets a governor. Isn't that adorable? Join us for the news quiz that's small but still counts. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. Saturday mornings at 11 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
It's hard to be in two places at once, but our reporters are in hundreds of places right now.
For the world, I'm Laura Lynch in Accra.
I'm Matthew Bell in the Golan Heights.
I'm Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
I'm Marco Werman. PRI's The World brings you a global perspective on the news with a worldwide network of correspondents.
In Paris.
Morocco.
Cairo.
In Mexico City.
Join us here at The World. Weekday afternoons at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
Spend some time in the Square, an online venue for local artists. WJCT invites you to vote for your favorite submission. Vote now through the end of the month. To learn more about the Square and to place your vote, visit wjct.org/thesquare.
Welcome back. It's our special on-the-go show live from the 2016 Players Championship this morning. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are coming to you live for the full hour this Friday from all of the fun and excitement at this great annual event. Well, more than 1,600 racers gathered for the annual The Players Donna 5K last Saturday out here at TPC Sawgrass, where participants got a behind-the-scenes look at all the tournament preparations. Runners and walkers joined this cause, starting nearly the island green of the stadium course's 17th hole, and they followed a path through the nine back holes to raise funds for breast cancer research and treatment. The 5K run at The Players, part of incredible efforts focused on the Donna Foundation's annual 26-2 with Donna National Marathon. Donna Deegan, who a longtime friend and a former coworker, such a force in this community, is joining us now with more about all this, and it's always great to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. So great to be with you. This is a cool setup here.
I know. We're right here by the First Tee Challenge. I see all these people taking the challenge and trying to chip across some water. I'm not going to try that.
No, because you want to feel good about yourself.
Exactly. I would like to have a decent day, so I will not be doing that. But it's exciting to have you on the show because what you've done with the Donna Foundation has become such a fabric of the First Coast, and your partnership with the players is a real exciting addition to that. Can you tell us a little bit about the 5K and everything you're doing out here?
Well, the wonderful thing about the 5K is that every year the players have allowed us to have just a few more people in, and it sells out every single year. People love the idea of running and walking through the back nine of this incredibly gorgeous course. And so every year it gets bigger and better, and we have a huge party afterwards, which is right there in the courtyard with those new, I forget what they call the big, beautiful new bathrooms, but right there, you know, everybody says,
the nicest porta potties on earth.
I think they're perma potties is what they are, but they're fantastic. Anyway, we just have such a great time. And this year, our biggest participation ever. The players has helped us raise, before this year, more than $300,000.
Wow.
That have gone towards helping underserved women with breast cancer and helping breast cancer research. So they've been an enormous partner. And of course, as you know, we have our registration opening for the 26.2, which is in February, coming up on the 23rd of May. And all this just helps us sort of promote toward that. But we've got the pink out on Sunday, which is going to be just huge.
What's the pink out on Sunday entail?
So the pink out, we just ask everybody, well, everybody that ran in the 5K gets a ticket automatically. But if you're coming out here on Sunday, and we hope you will, it's not Mother's Day this year, but we're really celebrating, we're celebrating the end to breast cancer and helping women with it. So we want everybody to come out in their pink on Sunday. And for every person through the gate, the players pays us a dollar. And if we set a record, we get more money. So we need everybody out here on Sunday. And it looks like the weather's going to be awesome. So just dress in your nice, cool pink sundress and come on out and join us or whatever. And also, Melissa, we actually have a $1,000 gift bag for the person who
That's quite
has,
a swag bag.
It's a, quite a
hey.
Swag bag for the person who has the best pink outfit. You just hashtag it on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with pink out for Donna. And post your outfit, and then we're going to choose who has the fanciest outfit. We have a package for both a woman and a child.
So, oh, nice. Yes. Very nice. And this is so exciting because over the years, your foundation and the marathon have really grown. I remember so well when you first started this. I remember going to the news conference at Mayo Clinic. This is going back quite a few years now.
Yeah, this is the first year.
And in the first year. And the way you hit upon this as a way to help women, it was very personal for you. And
sure.
Because you had your own journey through breast cancer.
It's
got to be gratifying to see that this has grown over the years and helped so many people.
Well, we've raised, we're approaching $5 million now that we've raised over the past, coming up on 10 years, which has been awfully gratifying, obviously. But I tell you what's really been great, Melissa, is that half the people that you see out here volunteering or helping with us are people who have been helped by the foundation in the past. And they say, you know, once I'm over my hump and I can get through my financial difficulties, I want to come out and help other women. So I think as a community, we've really rallied around women here. And that's what Jacksonville is so wonderful with. You know, we're great about lifting each other. And I think this has really shined a light on how wonderful this community is.
Yeah, because women that go through this, they might not always have the resources that they need, because in addition to the medical treatment, there are so many other needs that crop up, and it can affect the entire family.
Well, think about you know, all of us. Most of us don't have a ton of extra money sitting around.
Yeah.
What happens if you get sick and you can't do your job for a while?
Right.
You're losing out on that paycheck. So you still have the mortgage, you still have the child care, you still have the light bill, you still have the medical bills. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the Donna Foundation is there. It's sort of as a short-term stopgap, a safety net for women who need that while they're going through treatment.
And the marathon and the 5K, I know that you and your husband are both such devoted runners. I wish I had.
I'm sad that you missed him in his skirt on
Saturday. I would have paid
He had
to
a new
that.
Skirt. It was awfully cute.
That is cute.
Somebody asked me if he's really starting to like those, and I'm really sort of
What is it about running that gets you going? You love running.
I do. It is such a spiritual experience for me. I mean, to be able to go out on your own two legs and just go as far as your legs will take you, and it allows my mind to sort of float and clean up and you know, get rid of any perhaps aggression from the week or anything like that. No, I just love it. It's such a wonderful confidence building exercise. And also, if you look at the studies, women who run and who exercise have a lower incidence of breast cancer and also recurrence. So it's sort of a double blessing.
Now, are you guys golf fans as well?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, this is so fun for me. I love to come out. I'm like a geek watching these golfers. I think Ricky Fowler's just like the cutest thing ever. I think he's about my size, actually. I'm not sure.
We've been hearing that from some of the other women out here today. Yeah, that's been mentioned a couple times.
Yeah, but they're all great. I mean, it's really fun to have the best golfers in the world out here, and the fact that the players have been so generous to us, we just want to support them anyway. So, but it's fun for me. I love to be out here.
Excellent. So again, people need to come out and wear their pink
on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yes, please come out and help us help women with breast cancer. We'd appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate you being part of this show. Getting out here, you know, there are some hoops to jump through to get over to where we're sitting. So Donna Deegan, always a pleasure. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
And we'll be right back with more. It's our special On the Go broadcast this morning, live from the 2016 Players Championship. Back in a moment.
On the next Jazz Night in America, tracing the legendary Vanguard Jazz Orchestra back to its roots, we'll go underground to celebrate 50 years of innovative composition and tradition in the Village.
It all started with a handshake, and now we're celebrating 50 years.
We're still operating on that same handshake.
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
This week, we travel to India to ask how a country can pull its people out of poverty while also fighting climate change.
Use car, but as much as you can use a less.
A car salesman with conflicted feelings.
Cars are increasing global warming, so I don't think it's good.
Listen to All Things Considered every afternoon.
Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Another call to probe Exxon's alleged climate fraud.
The CEO of Exxon may say nice things at a Davos cocktail party about climate change being real and Exxon being interested in a carbon price, but down at the American Petroleum Institute where they lobby, they're telling people, don't believe that. You cross us and you're toast.
I'm Steve Curwood, and that's Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on 89.9 WJCT.
Next time on Ask Me Another, Uzo Aduba, who plays Crazy Eyes on Orange is the New Black, explains how she envisioned her character.
I had this image that came alive in my head of a woman with a pacifier in her mouth and a sledgehammer in her hand.
Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, with VIP Uzo Aduba on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. Sundays at 11 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, thanks for listening to First Coast Connect live and on the go this morning from the 2016 Players Championship. Back in 1981, the film Chariots of Fire won 4 Oscars, including Best Picture. Its sweeping instrumental theme song by Vangelis went on to become synonymous with Olympic glory. And its story of 2 talented runners, one running for personal glory, one to glorify God, continues to captivate a generation later. Harold Abrahams and Eric Little, of course, were real people whose story was told in that film, and Scotsman Eric Little's Olympic triumph was only part of a great epic story of faith and resilience. After winning his Olympic medal in 1924 in Paris, Little became a missionary in China. Tragically, his final brave years were spent in horrendous conditions in a Japanese work camp during World War II. It's that part of Little's life that sports writer and author Duncan Hamilton explores in his new book, For the Glory. I spoke with Hamilton about Eric Little's legacy. Duncan Hamilton, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I was so intrigued to get your book because Chariots of Fire is one of my favorite films. And, of course, as you write at the end of the film, when we learned in a little credit, a little title credit, what happened to runner Eric Little, that was so tantalizing. You decided to go and pursue that story. Was it the end of that film that inspired you to do that, or had you known about Little all along?
I had certainly known about Eric Little beforehand because my father was Scottish, and so I was brought up on Scottish heroes. But I didn't know about him really beyond the point at which he won his gold medal. And you're absolutely right. It was looking at that caption, and I saw the film, goodness, probably about three or four times, and in various cinemas. And it's kind of one of those really sad sort of captions, isn't it? And I kept on hoping that it might be different at some point. And I thought, well, I've kind of really one day got to find out properly what happened and what came next.
And what came next for Eric Little, this incredibly gifted runner and by all accounts such a saintly man, was just so awful. Can you describe what the process was like for you as you learned about his internment in the prison camp in China as World War II dragged on?
Well, I think that when I was first doing my research, I came across the line that somebody said that Eric Little was probably the closest they would ever meet to a living saint. And I thought to myself, this surely can't be true. I've done biographies before, and I know there's always some darkness and there's some kind of light. But this man I found was all light. I was able to go and speak to his best friend in the camp, who is still alive. I was able to speak to another internee who was with him only hours before he died. I was able to speak to a man who essentially became like his son, I suppose, inside the camp. And I was able to track down and meet lots of people who were teenagers at that particular point. And everybody said the same thing. They would kind of look up and they would see him doing something for someone else rather than doing it for himself. He would share his food at a point when rations were so meager. He would give up his spare time to go and dig a water hole for somebody or to tote flour sacks, or he would try to coach some of the teenagers in running, or he would play chess with them. He never rested. He was almost like a human perpetual motion machine, really. And to be able to do that in such demanding circumstances is really humbling when you read about it. I mean, this is a man who, in the midst of all this chaos of the camp, is asking his fellow in their internees to actually pray for the Japanese guards.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to tell you, in reading your book about his incredible conduct in these most hideous circumstances, it was so moving because, you know, as a young person watching that film, I identified much more strongly with his rival in the film, the Jewish runner, Harold Abrams, who was all in it for the glory. He had so much to prove. And even though I'm of Scottish descent, I identified with Abrams. But I think as I've gotten older, I've realized the great spiritual task of my life, and in fact, all of our lives, is that we need to be less like Harold Abrams and more like Eric Little, who was completely about others, not about self. He was all about service and trying to help those around him. And how difficult was it for you to learn that even at the end of his life, he, you know, when anybody else would have broken, I think, under those circumstances and lost some of that dedication, he never did.
No, I mean, he was often asked why he kept his faith and basically how he kept his faith. And he said that he thought God was in that situation with him. And it goes back again to kind of praying for the Japanese gods, because he felt for them. And when I was researching his tale, and when I was talking to other people, and then kind of going through my notes, I was always conscious, and I should kind of preface these remarks by saying that as a biographer, you've got to be very careful about the subjects that you choose, because you don't want to be caught for 2.5 years with somebody that you don't like. You'd be like being trapped in a room with someone for 2.5 years that you don't like. But this is the first time where I've done a book, and I thought at the end of it, and even while I was writing it, how can I be a better person? You know, I mean, he kind of teaches you lessons about dignity, and he teaches you lessons about tolerance and forgiveness and to love your neighbor, basically. And it is such an inspirational story, and he does seem too good to be true. And for the first time ever, I think, in researching someone, I found out that he was that good.
Well, Duncan Hamilton, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about this book, a wonderful book, For the Glory, Eric Little's Journey from Olympic Champion to Modern Martyr. Thanks, Duncan.
Thanks, Melissa.
And we'll be back in a moment with more from the Players' Championship. Stay with us.
Usually not one thing, it's several things, back to back to back, that leave you in a place you never expected to be. On the next Snap Judgment, To the Brink. Snap Judgment, storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Sundays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
This week in This American Life, when Star Lee was a kid, her mom refused to take her to Disneyland. But as a consolation prize, they would go to the Disneyland Hotel every year. It was perplexing to be so near to the happiest place on earth, but not to be allowed inside. Like Moses, seeing the promised land, not being allowed to live there. Okay, maybe that's a little grand. You get the idea. This week, Saturday afternoons at 2 on 89.9 WJCT.
No cell in your 100 billion cells in your brain.
Is it in a neuron?
Is having a thought.
If you took your neuron out and lay it on the table, could you see the bit of the thought that's in that neuron?
But together they are.
No, it's not in the neuron.
Together they're falling in love or wanting to write music. So who's in there?
This week on Radiolab, we look at the leaderless logic of ants, cities, Google, even your own brain.
Who's sitting inside the head of the person sitting inside my head?
Saturdays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
There is no such thing as old music, just music you haven't heard before. Enjoy the best music ever recorded on Relax Radio every night at midnight, only on 89.9 FM WJCT.
Welcome back to First Coast Connect on the go this morning, live from the beautiful TPC Sawgrass for the 2016 Players' Championship. Well, next Wednesday, May 18th, more than 450 students from all grade levels are going to get together and perform at the Times Union Center, sharing dance, music, and theater for their families and the whole community. It's the first ever Celebration of the Arts. We got a preview from Jeff Smith, Director of Arts with Duval County Public Schools. Jeff Smith, great to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
All right, so tell us about the first ever Celebration of the Arts showcase.
Yes, we're very excited. For the first time, Duval County Public Schools will present Celebration of the Arts on Wednesday, May 18th at 7 p.m. in the Moran Theater at the Times Union Center for the Performing Arts. We will be featuring the artwork of about 60 students from elementary, middle, and high schools throughout the county, five creative writers from five different schools, and outstanding performing arts, dance, theater, and music from 11 of our elementary, middle, and high schools. It's going to be an incredible night, and we're very excited about welcoming the community to this event.
And you know, it's notable when I look through the list of schools participating, we have some schools dedicated to the performing arts like La Villa, Douglas Anderson, but these are performances that come from all over the district, which speaks to the talent and the hard work of the kids and teachers all over Duval County, right?
That's right. It really showcases how we have expanded the arts programs over the past few years in all of our schools to ensure that every child in our school system has access to a high-quality arts education.
And why is that important? I know there's data really expressing the importance of music and art in schools. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We've been looking at studies, for instance, Florida, a study of about 200,000 students who were in a cohort, found that students who participate in high school in more arts courses had greater rates of achievement on all academic areas, on performance assessments in our schools, had greater graduation rates and lower dropout rates. And so we know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say, that not only do we have national research, but local research and research from Florida that showcases the fact that students who participate in the arts go on to do great things. And we see that in scholarships that have been awarded over $4 million just for Scholastic Art Awards this year alone, and let alone the millions of dollars in other scholarships for students across the district.
And so this Celebration of Arts is part of the movement to educate the whole child. I know that's something you're passionate about as well.
It is, and I'm very thankful that's one of four district initiatives and goals for our district that Dr. Vitti and our school board has outlined as part of the vision for the work of our school system. It's critically important that we make sure that we not only provide students with access to science, math, English language writing, and social studies, but that they have a very rich and diverse opportunity to study the arts in our schools.
Okay, with all of that said, people need to RSVP and get on the list to come out for this showcase. Not too late for people to do that.
It is not. You can buy tickets online or at any Ticketmaster location. They are about $15 with fees, which is very reasonable. If you buy them at a Ticketmaster location, slightly more at the online venue. And you can visit us on the web at www.duvalschools.org/arts to find more information and also to find a list of all performing ensembles. We will also be collecting instruments for our Instruments for Change program at that evening's event so that we have more of our students using new and gently used instruments in our instrumental music programs.
Excellent. Jeffrey Smith, Director of the Arts with Duval County Public Schools. Always great to see you. Sure to be a wonderful evening. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks for having me, Melissa.
Again, that's Celebration of the Arts next Wednesday night at the Times Union Center. Well, finally this hour, the Players is an event where you can not only see some world-class golf, but also mix and mingle, go to some parties, and sample some incredible food and drinks at the same time. Here at the Players, there are new options this year for dining. It's called Taste of Jack's, and you can find it in between the 11th Green and the 12th Tee. Featuring favorite Jacksonville area restaurants, this new venue has open seating in an air-conditioned environment. Along with a bar and video board, Taste of Jack's is open to all patrons out here at the event. One new option this year, if you come out to Taste of Jack's, is Trasca and Company Eatery. Owner Sarah Frasca, it's Sarah Frasca of Trasca, joins us. And I am so excited to meet you because not only are you here to be on the show, you brought some food with you. You know we love food on this program.
Well, everybody loves a panino. I brought mimosas, best mimosa you've ever had. Thank you, Melissa, for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. So tell us about Taste of Jack's, and your presence is new out here, right?
Yeah, well, we've been been around only for about a year.
Uh-huh.
We're in Ponte Vedra Beach. We're in the Sawgrass Village Shopping Center. We won Best New Restaurant in Jacksonville this year.
Congrats.
And thank you. Yeah, we're very excited. So it was an honor to be out here. I always get goosebumps, actually, because it's a hard thing to get into the tournament. I mean, obviously, these are world-class food vendors.
Right.
And to be amongst those out here is a real honor.
What's the process like to be to make the cut?
Well, being at the gates of the tournament never hurts. I think all the folks from the PGA Tour come to the restaurant quite a bit.
Are you on A1A?
We are. We're right off A1A.
Right off A1A.
Yes, right behind the Publix.
Uh-huh.
And so we're able to kind of knock the socks off of all the PGA Tour people, and I think they were excited to have us this year.
And they liked what they had. So tell us about the menu. You brought some mimosas with you, some paninos. It looks delicious.
Yes, thank you. So our specialty is actually a sandwich that my grandmother invented back in 1974. It's baked flat like a pizza and then rolled up, cut in half, and then you eat it like a sandwich, a handheld hot sandwich with everything inside. So we've got lots of different varieties. We brought about six of them with us to the tournament here. Like you mentioned, we have just killer mimosas. They're made with Watts organic cold pressed juice.
I only had two sips of mine.
Oh.
We are working here, but I'm gonna take another sip here in a minute.
Yes, well, it's worth it.
Oh yeah. Now let me ask you too, because the food and the drinks are such a big part of the atmosphere. It sounds as though people are going to really appreciate a sandwich they can just hold in their hands as they're walking around.
Yeah, they're convenient, but I think what people like the most is the quality artisan product that we're putting out. We use, you know, Rake's Farm turkey. We have Nooski's bacon from the middle of Wisconsin. We have the top cheeses, and then our fresh dough is made every single day. It's my grandmother's recipe. So I think that's what people are enjoying the most.
Now, you're out here the whole week. I would think at Taste of Jack's, that's become a real hub of activity out here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been busy the whole week. It's been great. I think people are eager for something new. They're hungry, so that's fun. Yeah, and it's been a blast. So we look forward to having more folks out. We hope we can dazzle them with the paninos and with our all of our different wares, our salads, etc. So
a lot of work, though. I mean, what are the logistics of getting all the food here onto the site, making sure that you have everything you need? That I'm sure there's, I mean, just for us to get all of our equipment in here, that took some doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is challenging, certainly, but it's worth it. My team is phenomenal. Again, I get goosebumps. They've been working around the clock, you know, prepping all the food that we're bringing out, making sure that everything's ready to go. You know, Watts Juicery has been juicing also around the clock to make sure we've got enough mimosas. And yeah, I mean, it's a team effort, certainly, and everybody's, you know, having fun, working hard. Yep.
Had any famous golfers come by your location yet this week?
We have had several, yeah.
Who's sampled the paninos?
Well, actually, if I can tell you the one that's been the most support, that's Jim Furyk.
Oh, really?
Yes. His family has been supportive of us since day one, and they continue to come in. So his favorite is the Cajun Ranchero.
Okay.
So I've got a picture of that here actually in front of us. So if anybody wants to come out, it's a little spicy, but that's Jim's favorite.
So it's paninos, mimosas, and what else are you serving out here?
We've got creme de la coco, chocolate chip cookies. So if you know Nils Roland out of the St. Augustine area, he is the top pastry chef in Jacksonville. So we're very lucky to have his cookies. We've got Zingerman's Coffee, which is a cold brew. It's from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Best beans we could get our hands on. So we've got some great stuff.
And again, Taste of Jack's, if people have come out to the Players before, but they haven't heard about this, that is in between the 11th green and the 12th tee. Good location for you?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's actually nestled in a little courtyard that's a little cooler. Got some shade, so it's a really nice spot. People can sit down.
And there's air conditioning, right?
There are tents that are air conditioned. Yeah. There's some seats that are kind of like those cool seats that are fun to sit on and cool down. It's great.
Sure. And yeah, we've been blessed this week with nice weather that isn't too oppressively hot, so that's good news as well. Well, she's Sarah Frasca, the owner of Trasca and Company Eatery, part of the new Taste of Jack's. You know, we've been looking at that tray of food for over an hour, and it's been difficult. It's been very difficult. We're gonna start eating here in a few minutes. Sarah, thank you so much for the goodies and for being on the show. Have fun out here. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa.
It has been a great morning out here at TPC Sawgrass as we've taken in the sights, sounds, and tastes of the Players Championship. Again, parking is sold out for today, so if you come out today, make sure to check alternate arrangements. But come on out and enjoy. That's our show today. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Shevchuk. Never miss a show. Make sure to subscribe to the Daily Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can watch the show now, too, video on demand, with our partners, TVJax.com and MetroJacksonville.com. Next on Diane Rehm, a look at the week's top national news stories. That's coming up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be back in studio again at 9 a.m. Monday. Have a great weekend.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.